sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful man. Upon this your confession, I by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and I am in need. Amen.
Injustice or false witness. For example, we now have a sense of the Pope and his teaching.
presented in the books of God all the world. For when the sin is public, it stands to reason that its punishment should also be public, in order that everyone may know how to guard against it. The sum and substance of this commandment, then, is this: no one shall harm his neighbor with his tongue, be friend or foe. We are not to say anything bad about him, whether the statement is true or false. The only exception is whatever must be said as a matter of official duty or for the purpose of helping the wrongdoer change. We are to use the tongue only to speak the best that we can about everyone, covering his sins and weaknesses by presenting them in the best light possible and by veiling them behind his more honorable and attractive qualities. The main reason for our doing this should be what Christ points out in the Gospel, in the passage intended to embrace all of the commandments concerning our neighbor: whatever you wish that men would do unto you, do so to them. So far, the confession reads. This morning, Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly, let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. They that were hungry cease, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth woe and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lift up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. And he will keep the feet of the saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, and out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." So far, the Old Testament lesson. This morning's epistle, which is the basis for my sermon, Romans 8, verses 1 to 10. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So far the epistle lesson.
Glory, glory, O Lord.
Jesus answered and spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, It is unlawful to heal on the Sabbath day. And they held their peace. And then Jesus took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into the pit, and will not straightway pull it out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And then he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out of the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than you be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come to thee and say, Give this man place, and thou being with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room. And when he that bare thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So far the Holy Gospel. We confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all the world. God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten not by name, being of the substance of the God, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us as her conscious child. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord of the Lord, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of death and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon hymn 342. Please be seated.
Scripture tells us that Christ died for all. Yet we know that not all. We read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yet the Bible teaches that the majority of the world will be eternally lost. God's revealed will tells us God wants all to be saved. And then at the same time informs us that only a few will actually enter heaven. The word of the Lord reminds us that God sent his Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Yet we know that the world will not be saved. Are these contradictions? We remember in Bible study, when we had that, and we'll be starting it again, hopefully, by the grace of God. We talked about universal grace. That is, God's plan for salvation is for everyone. And we do agree that God does desire to that all people be saved. And we firmly believe that Christ's death at Calvary was made for everybody. That God does love the world, and he sent his only begotten Son to save each and every person in it. But then we answer, you got to have faith. You must believe that he lived and died for you. And then we quote, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we listen to Christ's own words. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Therefore we conclude that the gift of God's atoning Son was given for everyone, for every person on the face of this earth. The salvation won by Christ is there for all to receive and accept by faith. And now here we have another dimension not previously stated, and that is the concept of faith is being brought in. What does it mean to have faith? What does faith do? How am I saved simply by faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior? What happens either on God's part or on our part when we have faith? Well, to answer these questions, we have to call upon God's guiding spirit. And this is the dynamics of salvation. Have you ever worried about your eternal salvation? Should you be called to stand before God tonight, are you certain that you would be judged acceptable for heaven? Perhaps we should first ask, what keeps people out of heaven? Listen to Jesus in his account of judgment, speaking to those who will inherit eternal damnation. Jesus said to them, depart from me, you cursed of my Father, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, what reason did Jesus give for this pronouncement of condemnation? Well, they had failed to perform the will of God. Jesus said to them, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink, and so on. And then Jesus explained that their failure to do the least of these, you also failed to do it to him. Well, we all know about that. And from this, we are to determine that it is sin. It is sin which bars the gate of heaven. Throughout the Word of God, we find such statements such as the wages of sin is death, the soul that sinneth it shall die, and this leaves no doubt about the fact that sin blocks the entrance into heaven, and no sinner will ever enter. And in addition to this, the Word of God informs us that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, and Holy Scripture tells us that no sinner can enter into eternal life. And at the same time, every human being on earth is a sinner. What a mess. Now, logically speaking, and when we're talking about faith, we don't usually talk about logic, but logically speaking, we have every right to doubt our salvation. We have no doubt but to doubt, logically speaking, knowing that God's law could be our last day on earth. How can we be sure that God will accept us? We sin daily, and in every sense of the word, we are sinners. And God's law condemns sinners. Yet, God, through St. Paul, reminds us, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How can this be? How can the whole law of God, which condemns every sinner, be so completely beyond total? It cannot be nullified. It cannot be pronounced void. True, no one can nullify God's law. No one, not even God, is able to wipe out what God has spoken. The law stands. Condemnation for all sinners. That stands. Its pronouncements, its demands, its condemnations cannot be nullified. It can only be fulfilled. It can only be fulfilled. And this is precisely what has happened. Christ Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly for us. Listen once again to the words of our text. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free, from the law of sin and death. And now hear what God himself has made us free from, the condemnation of the law. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Because our sinful flesh was too weak to be able to fulfill the law ourselves, Jesus took our place under the law, and he fulfilled it perfectly in our place. What we could not do because of our sin, Jesus did. He became our substitute. He entered into the world in the flesh, fulfilled the law, and suffered the total condemnation of the law through his death at Calvary. All of this he did for us. Now the question, how do we receive all the benefits that Christ gained for us? Faith. The answer is faith. Faith appropriates, that's a fancy word that means transfers Christ's work of redemption to us. That's what we did. That's why St. Paul could say, I was crucified with Christ. Faith transforms Christ's holiness and righteousness to us, and we become holy and righteous in God's sight, and that's all that really counts. When speaking of faith, we had better know how to get it, and that's just the point. Because you don't get it. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift of God. It is given. It is given. Luther presents his truth this way. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me. Called me by the gospel. In other words, we do not resolve to believe in Christ. We didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'll become a believer today. No, it doesn't work. And in addition, the Holy Spirit daily, through word and sacrament, keeps us in that one true faith. If faith comes by hearing, then how is faith sustained? There you go. By continuing hearing the word of God. We did nothing to deserve it. We can offer nothing to pay for it. We can only, and this too, by God's grace, simply give thanks for it. So let all these precious truths transform our lives into a spirit-filled walk and praise and thank God for the grace that he has given us through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life ever. Amen.
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 Let's pray for our president, for our nation. The problem that I see is not asking God to necessarily give us the strength to deal with whatever His will is, but I think that the greater problem that our nation is the lack of repentance. The lack of repentance. When we legalize sin, and we seem to gloat over some of our laws that we have actually condemned to the Word of God. And I think that's the real serious problem that our nation is facing. It's not Democrat, not Republican. It's just sin. The sin of not repenting for the sins that we have committed. Gracious Father in heaven, we come to you this morning on behalf of our president, whether you're Republican or Democrat, that doesn't matter. The leader of our nation is ill. And we pray that if it is your will, that you will save us, spare his life. We realize there's much conflict in our nation today. But the conflict, if you really study it, based upon your word, is caused by sin. On behalf of our nation, I'll be at least one of those that will ask for forgiveness, repenting of all of our sins that we have committed as a nation. But right now we're concerned about our president's health, and we pray that if it is your will, you grant him health so that he can return to his office as quickly as possible. We approach your throne of grace in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who calls us to be all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them, give rest unto their soul, we pray. Let us experience your love at the heavenly feast, which you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament in their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy Christian blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please receive.
Amen.
Son, and the Holy Ghost are one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person, and the unity and substitute of Majesty quickly. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we all do magnify thy glorious name evermore, praising thee and saying,
Thank you.
Okay. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was given to death for all our sins.
Thank you.
pardon the Lord's peace. Thank you. who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost,